And some of you may not, is that Pastor Ryan and I read to the kindergarten classes in Owen County. I do Spencer in Gosport, and he does in McCormish Creek, and then Daniel Hensley, who's the kindergarten teacher at Patricksburg, has her husband do it. I absolutely love doing it. These kindergarten kids, they just, they're enraptured, maybe because I'm so good looking, but really I think it's probably because I'm so tall, you know. And they just, they sit and listen. And I know Tammy has said, boy, I wish they would listen to me like they do to you. But I guess because I'm so big that they kind of are intimidated. Anyway, we get a different book. It's called Book Buddies. And we read a different book each month. And there is one childhood book, that I absolutely love. But it's too long to read to kindergarten kids because their attention span is about yo big. And maybe some of you have read it and heard of it. It's called Alexander and a Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. What I want to do is read some snippets out of it. I can't read the whole thing, but I want to try and read some of it. And feel free to laugh with your inner child if you want to, okay? Here goes. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingray car kit in his cereal box, and Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his cereal box. But in my cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. I think I'll move to Australia. In the carpool, Mrs. Gibson let Becky have a seat by the window. Aubrey and Elliot got seats by the window, too. I said I was being scrunched. I said I was being smushed. I said, if I don't get a seat by the window, I'm going to be carsick. No one even answered me. I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At school, Mrs. Dickens liked Paul's picture of the sailboat better than my picture of the invisible castle. There were two cupcakes in Philip Parker's lunch bag, and Albert got a Hershey bar with almonds, and Paul's mother gave him a piece of jelly roll that had little coconut sprinkles on top. Guess whose mother forgot to put in a dessert? It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's what it was, because after school, my mom took us all to the dentist, and Dr. Fields found the cavity just in me. Come back next week and I'll fix it, said Dr. Fields. Next week, I said, I'm going to Australia. He has a thing for Australia. So then we went to the shoe store to buy some sneakers. Anthony chose white ones with blue stripes. Nick chose red ones with white stripes. I chose blue ones with red stripes, but the shoe man said we're all sold out. So they made me buy plain old white ones, but they can't make me wear them. There were lima beans for the dinner, and I hate limas. There was kissing on TV, and I hate kissing. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse light burned out, and I bit my tongue. The cat wants to sleep with Anthony, not me. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom said some days are like that, even in Australia. I suspect that all of us could say, poor Alexander, poor me. Because I suspect that most of us have had those days that they are terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. No matter how we try and how we struggle, I think many in this room are prone to worry and anxiety. We wish we weren't, but we often find ourselves twisted in knots over various different scenarios. Worry and anxiety are probably at the top of the list of chains that people have on their hands and on their feet and they want to be free from. Worry and anxiety are like kissing cousins because When you worry, you get anxious. When you get anxious, you worry. But what I want to do for this week and next week is I want to split them. Now, there's going to be some crisscross, obviously, but I want to talk about worry today and what Jesus has to say about worry. And then next week, I want to talk about anxiety and how we can control that. God's word speaks directly to worry, particularly through the words of Jesus himself. So that's what I want to take you through as we go through Matthew chapter 6. So let's start, first of all, with the giant that's in front of us. The writers in the New Testament employ two different but related words to deal with worry or anxiety. And the word, one word is translated care. And it's usually combined with another word that means to draw in different directions. So you can see that worry and anxiety kind of like go hand in hand, because when you worry or when you have cares, what happens? You're drawn in multiple directions. You don't really know which way to go. And our hearts are torn between two worlds, so to speak. The distracting cares that we have divide our mental energy. They divide our work. They divide even cloud our spiritual vision. We can't see straight. We lose sight of the one whom is able to take our worries, because we're too worried about being worried. I want to take you back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, which was the very first sermon in this series. And that the scripture says, set your sights on things above. And that's what we want to do this morning, because worry diverts us. Hear this out. Worry diverts us from setting our minds up there because we're so divided down here. Okay, so just kind of keep that in mind if you would. I like what Corrie Ten Boom says. The late Corrie Ten Boom said this. She said, worry is an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. And Joe fixed that, and for some reason it didn't stay, but it was supposed to be lead. So what the picture that I get is this old man bent over with a sack on his shoulders, and all it is feathers, but he's so worried about everything that it's like that is lead pulling him down. So let's move on to Matthew chapter 6. What I'm going to do is take you from verses 25 all the way to the end of the chapter and show you what Jesus has to say about worry. And there are five slings here. There's basically, they are a sling, and the worry is the sling, okay? So let's get started. Worry keeps you from enjoying what you have. Verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing? You know, we often spend so much time worrying about what we don't have that we forget what we do have. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here. He's asking us a very vital question. Who gave you all that you have? Who gave you all that you have? God. And so worry keeps us from enjoying what we have. The second lesson is worry makes you forget your worth. Verse 26. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? He says, look at the birds. They are taken care of by God. But what about us? If God provides for them, will he not also do so for us? The third lesson is worry is completely useless. Verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Question. What does worry accomplish? Answer. Absolutely nothing. It accomplishes absolutely nothing. Okay, here, consider this illustration. You have a cage. Inside this cage, you have a mouse or a hamster or a guinea pig. That hamster, guinea pig, or mouse is not going anywhere. They're inside the cage. Now let's put them on the wheel. What happens when they're on that wheel? Round and around and around. And where they stop, nobody knows. And where are they going? Nowhere. And that's the way it is for us. When we are so consumed by worry, worry is completely useless. Fourth, worry erases God's promises from your mind. Let's go to verses 28 to 31. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Let's go back to that scripture back in Colossians chapter 3. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And finally, worry makes us like others. Look at verses 31 and 32. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So let me put it this way. To be worried like everyone else makes us like everyone else. That's what Jesus is saying. In this case, he was telling the Jews, you're acting like Gentiles. You're worried about everything, and you forget that your Father in heaven is taking care of you. For us, we have Jesus by our side. We have Jesus in our life. And we need to keep in mind that he's going to provide for us. And he says we have so much more. And what we have is so much better than anyone else. Okay, so that's the sling. How are we going to kill the giant? Now, you're going to tell me, Bill, David had 5 stones. Yeah, I know. But there are 4 here. But there are 2 things I want to establish with you. Number one, we need to establish our priorities. This is the one solid truth we have to grab. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If worry is caused by misplaced attention caused by misplaced priorities, we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to go back and seek the one who's behind it all. We need to go back and make sure our heart is in the right place. And then see if our eyes are focused on Christ. Or as Colossians 3:1 says, set your mind on things above. Now, along with establishing our priorities, there's one other thing we need to do, and that is we need to set a course of action. If you look at verse 34, Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for itself. I think we can all agree with that, can't we? Don't worry about tomorrow. Unless you're in a DeLorean time machine and you go back in time, you can't change, you can't participate, you can't change anything. You can't anticipate yesterday or tomorrow, period. So here's some practical advice. 4 stones. Number one, don't dwell on tomorrow's stresses. See what Jesus said? Tomorrow will bring what? Its own worries. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to say something really astute here, and I want you to pick this up, okay? The older I get, the older I realize I'm getting older. But that also tells me that I can't change tomorrow. I can't change tomorrow. You know what? You can take care of yourself. You can exercise. You can take all the supplements you want, but you can't stop cancer. You can't stop a heart attack. You can't stop memory loss. When I went out for a ride in 2016 and got hit by the car, trust me when I say I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't anticipating that. But I also tell you this, do you think if I had known I would have ridden on that road? Not a chance. But you see, leave tomorrow alone. Mark Twain once said, and I like, sometimes he's wiser beyond his years. He said, "I'm an old man, and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened." In other words, a lot of troubles happened to appear, and they didn't matter. Okay, so don't dwell on tomorrow's stresses. Number two, don't dwell on yesterday's messes. We all have them. We all have those actions, those sins, those purchases we wished we had never done or never made. If I had changed things, I would have been a superstar baseball player or superstar basketball player. I would have been the pastor of a mega church. But consider this, I would not have met Joe. I would not have had Tammy and Jenna. I would not have had Braden, my grandson. And I would not have been here for 21 years. And you know what? My life would have been so much, much poorer if I had chosen my own way. Don't dwell on yesterday's messes. I can't change what's happened in the past. You can't change what's happened in the past. Move forward. Number three, don't dwell on yesterday's successes. Everything is fleeting. Several weeks ago, Joe and I were talking about just this. And she asked me if I missed playing basketball. She said, you were really good at it. And I said, of course I was. No. she said, you were really good at it. And I said, at one time, I had the hardware and the trophies to prove that. But now the only hardware I have is in my knee. So all I have, actually what I told her is this, I don't miss it at all. I am totally content with the life I have. You see, all I have left as mementos is a paperweight with a picture of me as a junior in college and a little acrylic token that says I was part of the Outstanding College Athletes of America, which to me is totally worthless, and a cranky back and knees that tell me, was it really smart to play? But you know what? You can't go back and relive what you did yesterday. What I found out, like most people have, you have all kinds of successes, but when you're gone, they forget. You can't dwell on yesterday's successes. And whether it's pride or whether it's ego or whether whatever it is, don't go back there. And number four, don't dwell on yesterday's distresses. Let go of the heartaches. Let go of the heartbreaks. I know it's tough to do, but looking over your shoulder only serves to give you a crick in the neck. I want to challenge you. Next time you cut grass, cut like this. See how straight you go. You'll be all over the place. You'll think you're going straight, but you're not. But you see, that's what we do. We are so busy sometimes looking at the past that we forget there's a future. There's a today. And that God has made today. And as the scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. We can't solve any of the problems we caused way back then, unless it's forgiveness. But whether it's pride or whether it's regret, we can't change the past. So don't dwell on yesterday's distresses. Move forward. Forget what's behind and move forward. I like what Louis Giglio says in his book entitled Winning the War on Worry. And there's a typo or two in this because I missed it when Diane asked me to proof it. Here's how it's supposed to say. Jesus can carry what is worrying you because he has already carried what was meant to kill you. He has already carried your sorrows and buried them in his grave. Everything that was meant to kill you was sin. And Jesus has taken all of that and wiped it clean. And if you're part of his family, You can walk to him and say, thank you for taking my past and giving me a new one. Take my worries, take my cares, take everything I have, and let me just give them to you. And let me let you carry them. And that's my challenge for us this week, is that we'll begin to take a look at our lives and we will see not only the goodness of God, but we'll also see that we just need to turn everything over to him and say, Lord, I'm not making any difference by worrying about this. I can't change a person's mind by worrying about it. I can't change my circumstances by worrying about it. I'm going to give them to you and let you deal with them. Help me to be a servant. Help me to be submissive to whatever you want, however you want me to do it. And let me follow you. Worry is a chain that needs broken. Start today. Let's pray. Father, I'm going to repeat what I have said several times this morning. I want to thank you for your goodness. And as we sang the song, I will rejoice in the goodness of God. You have given us a new life. You've taken the past. You've erased it. You've taken the past and washed it clean. And you've given us a new heart, a new life, and said, here, this is yours. Help us to begin to live today and to leave yesterday to you and tomorrow to you and just simply live for you today. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning or who is watching online who is bound by worry, that you'll break that chain. The chain, whether it's around their waist or around their ankle or around their arms or even around their neck, that you'll break the chain and set them free. Help us to realize, Lord, that you are the chain breaker. And help us to trust you to do that. Thank you for the words of Jesus. So simple, so practical, and so needed. And help us to follow him with all our heart. Be with every person in this morning, in this room, those who are watching. And Lord, help us to just simply say, I'm yours, and I surrender to you. And I will no longer be a slave to fear because I'm a child of God. So thank you. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do our closing. I don't want to say closing.